people at Mount Lofty and all the time they've shared. Thanks, Brenton.
I enjoyed playing golf with Rob. He joined the Mount Lofty Golf Club in 1966. That is, he was a member of the club 47 years. During that time, many held the view that regardless of the weather, the conditions, the scores, the competition, it was always enjoyable, indeed fun, having Rob as a partner playing golf. Warren Simons, the club's professional, remembers Rob as a friend with an outstanding sense of humour. And it's this that I'd like to share with you today. I would also like to think that I was speaking for all of the club, because he was certainly a long-time friend of many members, not just the early on golfers. As you would appreciate, Rob was a totally involved club member. All knew him, all counted him as a friend. We should take as accepted that he was a fairly good, competitive, B-grade golfer who would take our money with the best of them. And on occasions, when he did lose the Mount Lofty Stakes, that's the side bet, he would pay out that dollar in 5 cent coins. All right, if he got those 20 coins back next week. Most golfers are either morning or afternoon players. For the last 20 years or so, Rob became entrenched as the 7:24 a.m. golfer, teeing off then. He did this for a long time with his golfing partner, Murray Pate. Later I joined him, and then my son Thomas, who's also here this evening, became part of that playing group for the last 16 years. Over that long time, we had to accept that Rob would always pull into the car park 7:15, 7:20, not wanting to waste a good putt on the practice screen before he teed off. In fact, over recent years, he didn't waste any good drives on the first tee either. He preferred to drive sideways into the bush or spectacularly backwards. Only then would he start to place good shots. It seemed that this was almost a ritual. All of this was not helped by his extraordinary ability to lose his glasses, repeatedly breaking them. A couple of times even driving over them in his Land Cruiser. More often, simply not bothering to wear them. "Where'd that drive go?" he used to always yell out, almost on every tee. His opponents would invariably point down the middle of the fairway. And this wasn't gamesmanship, it was just Rob. Rob was always there on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. Nothing kept him away. Nothing unless it was his early morning swimming training, he's swimming between the jetties, off snow skiing, fishing, on holidays with the family. Life to the full was Rob's plea and practice. Rob impressed his mates with his collection of golf sticks too. It could be said he went through a phase of looking for the elusive, perfect driver, the bigger the better. With each new purchase, another superseded club was retired to the shed. At one stage, this appeared to be almost a weekly upgrade, not an annual one. The club pro obviously loved him. His friends and the groups that followed our group, also knew Rob's clubs quite intimately, chasing him around the course with the old club left in the sand trap, in the bush, on the fairway, catching up with him before he needed the use of the game. Here's Bob's club, It was a common breeding cold that was heard around the course, almost every round. Nothing fazed Bob. I'll put him off his game. Thinking about it, that's probably not quite true. A missed short putt would always be followed by his unique stomping war dance around the hole. He would never throw his club, but this ritualistic bending of the putter sure got a message across. In a similar artistic vein, when he would occasionally send that long glorious putt, he would break into a chorus of Peggy Lee, Tony Bennett song, "Is That All There Is?" Almost knew that song myself. Another clear message, another clear side of Rob on the golf course. I should not let it pass, or not let pass Rob's views about Mickey Mouse golf. For years, we would never tell him if the club was playing Ambrose or four ball better ball, because he would simply hop back in his car and go home. His long and gradual change of attitude bore results. And in 2011, he won the Christmas Ambrose. This was great because it was the first time that he partnered three albums on that group. This included my recently converted wife, Heather. Rob played a huge part in Heather's understanding of the joys of golf and the celebratory drinks after every success. Rob, you continuing success, playing until April of this year, and inspiring his friends with his determined presence and typical fun involvement. Rob knew all the golfer funeral jokes. He loved life and always wanted us to celebrate as we're doing here this evening. His stories, his exploits, his friendship always reminded his golfing mates of loving and living life to the full. These are our lasting images of Rob.